From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. More Idaho Matters right now. Author Timothy Murphy is back with his latest novel. It's called Speech Team, and it's about a group of Gen X classmates as they struggle with a universal issue. Can we actually move past those internalized messages of our youth? Well, we're lucky enough to have Tim join us today to talk more. Tim, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So, first question, just give us a brief synopsis of this new book.
Right, right. Well, Speech Team is about, it's about four friends from high school, from public high school in Massachusetts in the 80s, who are all on the speech team together. And for those who don't know, Speech Team is kind of like debate club plus, you know, like debate is just one of many categories. You can do fiction, you can do oratory, you can do poetry, you can do children's literature. I did it. It's a big thing for a lot of kids at a lot of high schools across the country. So they were all on the speech team together. And 25 years later, in the early 2010s, they are slowly reunited when they learn that a fifth member of the team has killed himself. And in the note that he leaves on Facebook, he says about their speech coach, you know, and 25 years later, I never forgot what you said to me. And it devastated me. So this slowly reunites them and they start sharing notes and they realize that he kind of really messed with all of their heads privately. So they determine to, they learn that he is in retirement in Florida. So they all go down to Florida together, which is sort of a reunion for them as well. And all this stuff comes up about what's ensued over the past 25 years, but they go down there to confront him, to find him and confront him and to say, do you remember the things you'd said to us? And the fact that we've never forgotten them for 25 years. So that's the setup.
Mm-hmm. So with that said, this is your fifth published novel. So what motivated you to write this new novel, Speech Team?
Well, I mean, I think it was partly that it's about, you know, it's half the size of the last two novels. So the motivation was to write something just shorter and kind of breezier and more accessible. I mean, the last two novels, that Christadora is set against the AIDS epidemic in New York City in the 80s and 90s. It's about how a family is impacted by that over like 40 years. And then the novel after that, Correspondence, is set against like the U.S. invasion of Iraq. So
a little bit heavier.
Yeah, exactly. I just wanted to write something where maybe the bar would not be as high for people to pick it up, because almost everyone's gone to high school. And if not everyone, many people have had the experience of like being told something as a child or a teenager that really, just like you said in your intro, you know, becomes part of that internalized tape that holds you back your whole life. So it was that. And I think it was also meeting up with these two friends from high school who I literally had not seen since graduation day. And mind you, we graduated in 1987. So I'm talking a while ago. And sort of unpacking, you know, our experiences of, we were all bullied and, you know, verbally and physically abused in high school in different ways, you know, either for being gay or for being Jewish. And it sort of about, we kind of commiserated over that, you know, for the first time ever, at least together. And I left feeling so weirdly vulnerable and bruised. Like, you know, I was 50 by this time and I couldn't believe how painful these memories were. So that sort of started, you know, I think that started me thinking about this book. And also just the past 10, 15 years of living in the Facebook era is really unprecedented, because I think people that, you know, would never come back into our lives, and we might not even think about, come back into our lives, you know, in ways that are, make you think about the past versus the present. And a lot of the book is about that, you know, it's just about the passage of time and how people change or don't change.
Well, and it, you know, it struck me too, is, I mean, I grew up in this time. I mean, I went to, you know, you in the 80s and all of that, you and I are similar in age, and I did not love high school. Did not love it. And, you know, and it is interesting, I think, how there are these messages that we do carry forward with us, right? And so I like how in the book you tackle this idea of, can we actually almost take a step back from ourselves and almost look at yourself objectively, right? And be like, okay, well, I don't even know if that was true when they said that when I was a kid, let alone if it's, you know, true now. Did you have a lot of thought in that when you were writing it, or was it just something that kind of came out during the writing process?
Well, I mean, you know, part of the book is that this is the most autobiographical book I've ever written. Well, except for my first. So I'll say it's the most autobiographical in a while. And what happens in the present of the book in 2012-13 is completely invented. But, you know, what happens in when they're in high school is a pretty true reflection, at least for me, for the character of Tip that's like so blatantly based on me. I mean, his name is Tip Murray and my name is Tim Murphy. I did that for a reason. You know, happened to me. And I did have a teacher who, when I was like a sophomore in high school, pulled me aside and told me to stop acting like such a homosexual. And I was just shocked, you know, because like, you know, students, you know, like kids would bully me for that, call me a faggot all the time. But like, I was never, this was, you know, I didn't expect to be taken aside by a teacher who basically told me like to police myself, you know? So, you know, I think a lot of the book is about like what you were saying about, yeah, how do you, I mean, a lot of the, this, I think in real life ties into issues about therapy, right? Like,
right.
The therapy is to sort of objectify our experiences from ourselves, like step back from them and hold them at arm's length and look at them and think about how they have in, how we've internalized them and how those tapes are not true necessarily, you know, but those tapes have been, you know, running in your head all your life. You know, the point is to develop self-consciousness in a way, you know, like self-examination and to see and say, aha, I realize I've been telling myself this my whole life and it's holding me back, you know? So a lot of the book is about that. I think to various extents in the book, the four of them, like Tip, Nat, Jennifer, and Anthony have all internalized certain messages about themselves, about who they are, who they can and cannot be. And the trip is a chance for them to kind of air those, externalize those messages, you know, and maybe leave experience with a new, freer sense of who they are.
So I know you've described the book as The Breakfast Club All Grown Up. And I kind of love that because first off, I mean, great movie. But
well, and it's a very Gen X book, right?
Yes. Yeah. Like, very Gen X.
The book is a Valentine to like Gen X. I don't think we grew up with quite the consciousness around all these issues that that millennial and Gen Z people have, you know?
Oh, 100%. Right? That's why we're all dealing with these internalized messages still. But you know, but with that said, I mean, I've always kind of wondered like, gosh, where would these, you know, kids from the Breakfast Club be today, right? Who would they be? What would their lives look like? And so again, when you were writing the book, I mean, was it kind of an homage to just that era in a sense? And not necessarily, I mean, saying that, you know, your four characters are like the four characters in Breakfast Club, but it is that Gen X kind of, I think, culture that we did grow up in the 80s and how it has moved, you know, forward in our lives to this day.
Yeah, I mean, I love The Breakfast Club. I really do. I think it's like what was a real mainstream hit. I think it's a very radical film in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Like it was interrogating. It was really kind of like unflinchingly interrogating like toxic masculinity and the way that like boys are raised, especially at that time. It was interrogating the double standards that girls have to deal with around sex. You know, like you're either like a, you know, Molly Ringwald says, you know, I'm either a, you know, a frigid or a slut, you know, like there's no in between, you know, it's like it's a binary. I just love it in so many ways, you know, and I think it's so moving. I think it's so moving at the end when they say, we all know that, you know, we're not gonna, you know, we probably won't be friends on Monday.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
We come back into school, but they've all been so profoundly changed by like just this one afternoon and the fact that they have this weird opportunity to like open up to one another about like their deepest like fears and anxieties. Like, I just think it's really deep, you know, even though it's wrapped in this very pop like 80s package with the music, you know. I mean, I would say that mm-hmm. my book is like, if the characters were all variations on like Anthony Michael Hall and Ally Sheedy, like the weirdos and the misfits, yeah. and there were yeah. no alpha kids, no popular jocks or popular girls in the thing. It was just all the weirdos and like the closeted queer kids and the brainiacs, you know, if they all reunited 25 years later, you would have my book.
So you said very much that Tip is very much based on you. So was he easy to write, or was it difficult because you have to kind of delve into yourself writing that character?
You know, it's so funny. It's a two-sided answer to that question. Like, the book was really easy to write in the sense that it just didn't involve the kind of research that the other books did. Yeah. Because it was also close to my own experience. Like, I was on speech team, so, you know, I was able to write in detail about what being on speech team was like and how you were supposed to present your work, et cetera. But what I didn't really account for was that, like, it's really raw, you know, like, it's the most sort of like raw-ish, I don't know what the adverb for raw is, rawly autobiographical. You know, novel I've written, and you know, and I wrote it with the hindsight of 25 years, not like the one I wrote when I was in my 20s. And yeah. I was not prepared for how painful it would be. You know, I was not prepared for how painful it would be to really reckon with how, you know, how I was treated as a kid shaped me as an adult. And, you know, I think that like Tip in the book is kind of a reflection of me maybe more like 10 years ago. You know, because I'm in my like, I'm 54 now, and they're all like 42 in the book. You know, I think I'm more evolved in terms of more processed, you know, of past experience than I was 10 years ago. But it was just, you know, like when I was in my early 40s, it was distressing to find that even though I was an adult, you know, by the time you're 42, like you're really an adult. It's very different from 30. But, you know, I still had like these wounds, you know, or these blocks, basically, you know, that went back that far. So, I mean, I would say the Tip in the book is more a reflection of me like 10. I mean, I wouldn't say not that I'm like all process now or whatever, you know, but I think I'm in a different place than I was then.
You know, it's interesting to me reading the book, too, was that I have a high schooler now. And as I mentioned, I did not love high school. Did not love it. And yet my husband on the flip side loved high school, and our son is actually going to the same high school that my husband went to. And I find myself having to really like check myself when I talk to my child about school, because I don't want like my wounds and my, like, I don't want all of that to be on him. And so it's very interesting to have a child navigating high school. But even as I watch it, I'm like, oh, it's such a different experience than what I had. Right. So it is, it's just so interesting how, as we mentioned in the very beginning of this conversation, that you do internalize these messages. Right. But at the same time, it's like, okay, well now I don't want to throw those on my kid. So it's just, I think one more level, right. Of in a way, like trauma can impact us and even however many years later.
Yeah, it's so true. And it's so interesting because I feel like this is such a strange moment for this book to come out because, you know, young people today, I mean, you know, as I'm sure you know, like we came of age without the internet. I mean, the internet, social media have changed everything. Like even if you don't see yourself reflected in the town that you're in, it's so easy to see that there's a big world out there and there are people like you out there. And I mean, this could be talking about your sexuality, if you're transgender, it could be about race. If like Jennifer, you're one of the only like, you know, kids of color in your school. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can access the world in a way that we could not, you know? And I sort of miss how hard you had to work in some ways for like culture beyond popular culture. You know, now everything is like at your fingertips. But, you know, I think it's interesting though, like this is such a, I mean, I think when we were growing up, There wasn't even language to say that, you know. I mean, I'm so struck by how young people, like your kids' age probably, are familiar with words now like misogyny and homophobia.
Oh,
And
absolutely.
like they actually, I mean, I don't mean to say that things are necessarily better or perfect for them, even though I do think overall they are around these issues appreciably, precisely because there's consciousness and language and programs and conversations around it now. But, you know, at the same time, there's always a backlash, right? And, you know, and I would, you know, now I've seen these polls where like LGBTQ young people say, you know, they feel incredible fear and anxiety because of all these states that are passing all these laws, you know, trying to block them from getting certain kinds of care or trying to read certain books where they can learn about themselves and see themselves reflected. So it's just fascinating. I mean, I think the big difference between our when we were teens and teens today is that at least today it happens in a context of knowledge, you know, like you know there's a lot of support, a lot of resources out there for you, whereas I think a lot of us, you know, whatever the issue was, there wasn't, they weren't easily accessible. Like if you wanted help or if you really wanted to find your own tribe, you really had to look, you know, like the book Boston is,
Absolutely.
they're all growing up outside of Boston and, you know, Boston is their Mecca. And, you know, when I was a teenager, Boston was my Mecca because that's where you would go and like get glimpses, you know, whether it's through records, magazines, books, movies, et cetera, you'd get glimpses of the rest of the world. You know, and that's so much more accessible today.
Well, I so appreciate the conversation and really just love the book. It was so nostalgic in so many ways. So thank you for taking time to talk with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. I hope people read it and they find out what happens when they finally confront their old teacher.
I know, exactly. We've been talking with author Tim Murphy about his new novel, Speech Team. It is available now. Grab yourself a copy of it. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is my voice. It can tell you a lot about me, and I'm not changing it for anyone. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of NPR episodes centered on the Black experience. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get podcasts.